Fantasy Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagland. You got, Corey Majors. And the famous, I have cards now, Alec Medford. Gentlemen, how are we doing this morning? Welcome to the program.
I am, my wife just texted me.
Oh, no.
But also, UPS just texted me and said my shipment's on its way. I haven't ordered anything.
Scam.
So do I click on this and say yes? Is this how I got my Netflix password stolen?
I'm just
constantly clicking on things and like, sure, I'll check this out. It's all about.
Especially if it's like, hey, you just got to pay 87 cents to get your package fully delivered.
Uh-huh.
Then you're like, hold on. That doesn't sound legit.
I'm still waiting for my millions of dollars from overseas. I got a message from a king, and he was like, hey, I know this is your email address. Congratulations. I need somewhere to store this money for a while.
And you still haven't gotten it?
Still haven't gotten it yet, but I'm waiting. I think I can just collect interest on that.
You know, I think maybe this time if you click on the UPS thing and give them some of your information, that'll help get the money in.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll get started there and see if that's probably what they were talking about. Hey, your money's here. It's going to be delivered by UPS.
Does that sound right to you, Alec?
We need you to confirm.
Is that how money works? We just, you know, put it all in an envelope and say, hey, U.S. mail system.
Not that amount of money, Alec. Obviously, it's going to be in a large box, not just an envelope.
Yeah.
This is a lot of money we're talking about.
Is it like one of those bubble mailers like we get our sports cards in, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It's just a couple stack of hundreds in there.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Exactly.
I'd love that.
So, yeah, Kevin, everything's going well.
Okay. Sure, what?
It's Tuesday, baby. Like, that's what Dawson would tell me, and I love it.
Okay. Do you have any more nonsense in your system to start, or?
I got a whole day's worth of it, buddy.
Oh, my God.
Let's get rolling.
All right. Well, you know what? I actually kind of prefer the nonsense to.
I know. I was here last week.
Have to talk about otherwise, because you know what? Alec, I'm going to let you pick. It could be 3, 4, 5, 6. Pick one of them. We'll talk about the Stars.
2.5 to go. Dreisaitl ran out of room as he was pursued by Blackwell. Klingberg scores! John Klingberg, a power play goal. Everybody in the act. And it's 6-1 Edmonton.
Now, I'm going to admit, I kind of fell asleep a couple of times during that Stars game. Every time I woke up from an 8-minute micro nap, the score was different, and it was never different for the Stars. Right. It was already, hey, it's 3-1,
uh-huh.
4, 5, 6. You're like, the hell is happening?
Worse and worse and worse.
How are you going to fix this, Corey? Actually, what I want to know first is what the hell happened?
Honestly, I mean, the good players for their team stepped up. Number one.
Do you think Connor McDavid heard you saying that he wasn't scoring any goals?
Did I say that?
Yes.
Then yes, I think that's clearly what happened.
I think you probably would have scored either.
But I mean, clearly they're a good team. This is what we were discussing before the series. A lot of people were like, oh yes, Edmonton, finally we're past Winnipeg and Colorado. No, this is a really good team. They were in the cup last year for a reason. And they're even more well-equipped now with some of the talent they have on this team. So they're an even more difficult team to get past. And Kevin, I think not winning game 2 in Dallas is going to be the thing that haunts them for this reason. When you go on the road to Edmonton, that line change, that's all in favor of Edmonton now. And anytime he wants to get Connor McDavid out on the ice without Miro Heiskanen on the ice, he can. And that's going to be a problem not only in Sunday's game, it was, but it's going to be a problem in tonight's game as well whenever they're doing their line changes and you can't get Miro out there to match McDavid, and now he's kind of free to run around and do what he wants.
From the 903, Kevin, this is your fault for not doing the prediction tease. Do we need to bring the prediction tease back but do it for our own show?
Maybe so.
Sean and RJ already recorded their tease unless you want to just totally take over that.
And tomorrow's hump day, so
yeah,
I think we all know that.
We know exactly how to do that tease. I am still hopeful that they can get back into this series. However, Corey, I've got some information for you in the short term from the 716. I'm a driver and delivery person for UPS. Send me your info and I'll see what I can do.
Okay. All right.
From the 940, I know a king in Zimbabwe that is sending me $6.3 million.
He must have had multiple $6.3 million to shed out because that's the exact number.
He's a king.
Yeah.
All right. He has more than $6.3 million. He's got plenty of money. All right. Now we need to talk about a player. You're right. The skill position players are driving you crazy.
And from the 254, DeBoer's never going to win a cup if he doesn't stop changing lines. There's no continuity. He's trying to make adjustments a lot of times. And when he sees something get defeated or something get beat, he's like, all right, what else can I do? And he's also trying to get some other guys going.
Yeah.
Like there are some of these guys that just aren't going. And it's like, okay, well, does Robertson need to be on a better line? Does he need to be with Ropé? You know, there's a lot of different questions there.
They did try that out. The other thing, I hear that person, but how often does a playoff team get two of their best players back in the second round?
Right, yeah.
You know, and that's obviously going to necessitate some line changes. You saw a little bit of a line change because you wanted to go with Rantanen. You're like, let's ride that thing as far as we can and get him on the fourth line. And then you had Robo come back. You had Miro come back. And obviously, you're going to have to make some adjustments with that. But Corey, you just brought up the last part is you had to figure out a way to jumpstart Robo. Like, yes. More than anything else, I think that's why they made one of those moves.
And honestly, Kevin, the other factor in this series, and it's going to be this way until the Stars stand up, is physicality is not in the Stars' favor yet again.
So let's talk about Zach Hyman. He has been a wrecking ball in this series.
I have lots of jokes, but I'm not going to say them.
About the song Wrecking Ball?
Nope.
Interesting. You want to throw one of them out there?
I don't want to throw any Hyman jokes out there. No.
Because he's a quality player.
He's a quality player.
I get
player.
What you're saying.
That's right.
So he is going into game two, or not game two, I wish. Game four, leading the NHL in hits. He has 109 hits in 14 games during the playoffs.
Jeez, man.
You know who's next on that list? Or at least they were going into last night's game? Sam Bennett, who has 78. I'm going to say that one more time. The second place guy going into last night's game had 78 hits. Hyman has 109. The record for most hits in a playoff run is 126. Hell, he might get that tonight with the 17, not all the way to 126. But my point is, he is wrecking folks at an almost unprecedented rate. And to your point about how the Stars, they hung in there physically in the back half of the Colorado series. I think we agree in the front half, you're like, ooh, this is problematic. They hung in there in the back half of the Colorado series. They did just fine physicality-wise against Winnipeg. Now you've found yourself at a potential deficit again. And by the way, it ain't going to get any easier because if you win this series and go to the Stanley Cup final, you're going to go up against uber-physical Florida.
Oh, yeah,
one
for sure.
Would assume. And so do you believe that they can turn up the heat like they did against Colorado? One of the reasons I do is because I felt like we sat in the same spot after game four of the Colorado series. Dallas lost that game, didn't have an opportunity to like put the series potentially away, and everybody was worried about their physicality. Here we are against Edmonton. Now you're down 2-1. Do you think they can step up their physicality, not to outwork Edmonton, but at least be on a somewhat similar level?
You have to. That I think they can because we have seen it before. We saw it in the Colorado series. And it did seem like it came on later in the series, too. Like, it didn't start that way in the Colorado series. It seemed like we were every day coming in here going, Colorado's just so much more physical than this team. And that is the Stars. That's the reality is they are a finesse team at most. Most of the time, go back and look at the regular season and look at their hits.
Does Robertson epitomize that for you?
The finesse part of things? Yeah, Duchesne's kind of in there too, but Duchesne's shown an ability to go in there and be tough. And Robertson's tried. I've seen him try to go be tough. It's not natural for him.
Yeah.
So it comes off as like he'll trip and fall. Marchment is another you're just like, he's just stumbling all over the ice sometimes. It looks like a Charlie Chaplin film where just everything goes wrong and somehow and then the puck gets in the net. But that's where I am with this physicality of this team. It seems like it takes somebody waking them up and calling them to do it. And that's not going to be helpful whenever that's what you have to match at this point in the season. That's just what it is. Playoffs become this way.
You know, somebody brought this up about Wyatt Johnston, and this is fair, and I think we're going to get into that a little bit later in the show. He has by far the worst plus minus of the playoffs. Now, sometimes that can be deceptive, but here's the fact. The Stars have three regular players who have a positive plus minus.
Okay.
That's never going to work, especially this deep in the playoffs.
I will say he's the only one in the last game with, well, he was 9-3 on faceoffs in the last game. And in the last game, we weren't very great at it.
And that is weird, too, because Connor McDavid at times has struggled on the faceoff in this series. From the 6-4-1, I just don't agree with this, but feel free to have, obviously, your own opinions. Otter is the new Hellebuck, not being good in big games. I don't know how that is your takeaway.
You just beat Hellebuck.
I don't know how that's the takeaway thus far in this series. He gave up two goals in Game 7 that you obviously do or die for both teams, and he outplayed Colorado's goaltender. He outplayed the best goaltender in the world, at least in the regular season, in the second round. And so I know they're down 2-1, and this last game was awful, awful, awful.
And Edmonton's a different team than both Colorado. For like, sure. Colorado's that team that they're flying with speed, and they move really well with a couple of different guys on the app. McKinnon, when he's out there, when McCarr's doing his thing, like, they're a very good team. Edmonton's deeper beyond that. Winnipeg, like, the Stars had them figured out pretty well on what they were trying to do offensively. Offensively for Edmonton, this is a completely different animal. And so, again, this goes back to Miro not being on the ice whenever McDavid is because of the way the line changes are built. And so what happens there is then Otter's left out. You know, he's hanging in the wind when he has a couple of guys out of position because their best players are going up against not the Stars' best players. So this is a uniquely different and creative offensive team that the Stars have to figure out throughout this thing, and now they're down 2-1. That's a problem for them.
And this is a fair point. Why can't we just put one guy on Connor McDavid to lock him down and make they put the puck in other players'
that
hands?
That would be Miro at home.
Yes.
With the Stars at home on their ice, Miro would be it. Other than that, it's because the line change is built so that he gets to change and put McDavid on the ice whenever he wants, and you can't match it that way.
And on the flip side, if you do that, the unfortunate thing, as Corey brought up before the series, is the annoyingness, Alec, of Draisaitl, because he'll be right there. Like, if you want to, if you think you can counteract Connor McDavid, here's the issue with that. You could try to lock him down all you want. He's also a magician passer. Yeah. Like, he is the Luka of passing in hockey, and we don't need to get into anything else. But Alec, my general sense is, if you want to do that, if you want to make your focus the lockdown on McDavid, I think Draisaitl is the next logical candidate to make you pay.
It's Batman and Robin for them, because they're both a scoring threat, but they're both so good at maneuvering and distributing the puck at the same time, to where it's exactly what you're saying. If you try to eliminate one side of the ice, the other side is going to haunt you.
Yeah.
And you've already seen it from both of them that if you make mistakes as the Dallas Stars, because that was the theme of the conversation a lot after Game 3, it felt like, was the Stars outplayed them in a lot of different ways.
Especially in the second period. They dominated the second
exactly
period.
Whether it's shots on goal, just positioning on the ice, it felt like they were doing everything they needed to win, but it was those three or four mistakes that they ended up absolutely paying for. You can't afford to do that with, of course, Connor McDavid being the best player on the face of the earth, but Leon Draisaitl is equally as incredible and dangerous. It makes it tough. You know, you start thinking about your defensive keys, and it's like, well, if we take away one, we still got two others we got to worry about.
And there is a fine line, because I saw a couple of people talk about Bischel and Ben and their physicality. There's a fine line between being physical and getting put in the box. And at this point, that could be problematic. Although I think the bigger issue for the Stars is their 5-on-5 hockey has not been acceptable in this series. Like, we've talked about it going into this, you felt good about their special teams. 5-on-5 hockey this level, it ain't gonna cut it. Whether it's tonight, whether it's hopefully over the next 10 games or so, that's not gonna cut it. And so I'm here for some more physicality. I don't want us to slash anybody in a response to Ropey.
No, you wear them out.
Yes.
And you need to wear them out early because Edmonton will hop on you early. And that's how they play. They hop on you really fast, and then they're like, chase us. Good luck. And then you get caught up not doing the physical things. You beat up on them a little early in the game. By that third period, I mean, just think about any time you've ever been, you know, worn out by something. Over time, because it kept happening, you were like, I'm exhausted from this. And that's where you got to do. Those guys are going to skate fast in the third period if you're not beating them up a little bit early.
For the 4-6-9, can you explain the benefits of the line change? So I'll use Robertson as an example. The thought was getting him back together with Hintz was a combination that just had like a natural rapport because you'd seen it so much. And so even though like maybe a player doesn't earn a movement up the line, you're like, hey, let's put him up there because they know each other and that might be what you need to spark him.
And somebody asked that line change on the road question too. Last advantage is what it's called. So the road team puts their guys out there. And then the home team gets to go, oh, I see that they're missing this, sends out their line, and that takes advantage of what the road team has out there. So it's a matchup. It's mismatches. It's trying to find those. And whenever you're in Edmonton, McDavid gets to be on the ice with lesser defenders.
And if you want a short shift or go long shift or continually be chasing, you can.
Yeah.
But it,
and Miro will be out there for the most minutes of anybody out there. Like, that's going to happen. But this is an advantage for them, and they've been using it absolutely to their advantage so far.